Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone this Friday evening. So this is our concluding section of this 7 session series. So we'll start with invocation prayer. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare So, once again, welcome this Friday evening to our final session of the seminar series. So, I'm glad most of the people are here. So in the first session, we said we are going to start on a very special journey, a journey of self-discovery, and we all should fasten our seat belts for this journey. So it's like a marathon. So on the start of marathon, right, it's a 5K, 10K marathon. So a lot of people are there at the starting line, and a lot of photographers, cameraman, everybody taking photos and everything. A lot of excitement. And during the marathon, slowly, slowly, some people fall apart. And few people are trickling in at the finish line. But I'm happy to see here most of the people who started on the first day are able to come at the finish line also. So thank you for your participation, for your encouragement. So last 6 sessions, whatever we have discussed, if somebody has not heard something, you did not pay attention, you missed some part, it's all okay. Because today is what we are going to discuss as a essence of all that information. How to practically apply in our life. What we need to take out of this whole series we have done. It's good to hear, sometimes people say, oh, it was all very nice, we gained a lot of knowledge or a lot of information. But how do we use that information? How do we apply that information in our life? What do we do after this session? So in last sessions we discussed, we started with search for happiness. Everybody is looking for happiness, but somehow happiness just slips out of the hands. There is a temporary pleasure, temporary happiness. How to get the real happiness, how to avoid the problems of life, the miseries, the sufferings of life. Why do suffering happen? And then, does God exist? Because if God does exist, then there should be no suffering. That's general people's viewpoint. So if God does exist, and who is God, then why do bad things happen to good people? Or why suffering is there in first place? And then we discussed, who am I? What is my role in this whole universe, in this cosmic manifestation? What is my relationship with that Supreme Lord? Then we discussed the different karma principles. How to come out of this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. How to cut down the cycle of reaction. that is akarma. So how to perform akarma? So action which does not bring reaction. So we discussed vikarma. It's a series of, as a ladder. So vikarma, then karmakanda, then nishkamakarna, then karma yoga, jnani yoga, dhyani yoga, and then finally we come to the level of bhakti yoga, engaging in devotional service of the Lord. So from that point, now how do we engage in the devotional service? What is the practical spirituality? Is it practical in this modern age and time? Can we really practice spirituality? Everybody thinks, oh, I'm so busy. Life is too busy. There's no time at all. It's hard to maintain the work-family balance. How to bring in spirituality, additional aspect in the life. So, it says life is preparation and death is the examination. If we want to pass in the final exam, so what kind of exam is that, first of all? So we say life is preparation and death is examination. For example, in any study course, at the final there is an exam. To pass that exam, one has to study throughout the year. If some student want to pass in 10th grade or 12th grade, they cannot just say, okay, I will study 1 hour before the final exam and I will cram everything. So to pass with flying colors, one need to study throughout the year. So same way this life, we will be tested at the end of our life, at the time of death. How to pass in that final exam? So the final exam is if we can remember the Lord at the time of death. So Krishna says, antkale cha mameva smarna muktva kalevaram. If somebody can remember me at the time of death, he will cut down this cycle of birth death. He will come back to me. So that is the final exam. To pass in that final exam, now can we say, oh, it's very easy. Krishna says, remember me at the time of death. So it's very easy. I will say Hare Krishna at my last breath and I'm done. I'm passed this exam. To pass that exam, if we haven't practiced remembering Krishna throughout the life, we will not be able to remember Krishna at the last breath also. So to be able to remember Krishna at the last breath, we need to practice remembering Krishna throughout the life. So sometime when we speak about spirituality, there are many misconceptions. So misconception one, somebody thinks spiritual life is retirement program. Abhi kya hai? Abhi to aap jawan hai. Enjoy your life. Eat, drink, make merry. Enjoy the life. Sometimes parents also tell the kids, abhi kya hai, ye sab karne ko, abhi to enjoy karo. So we think retirement, spirituality means something retirement program. When we retire from the work, retire from job, and we have finished all family responsibilities, then we'll take to spiritual life. Then we'll open Bhagavad Gita. Everybody has Bhagavad Gita, and people keep Bhagavad Gita wrapped in some nice red cloth somewhere, some corner of their cabinet. And when somebody is about to die, then they'll say, oh, bring that Bhagavad Gita. Keep it close to the head. Like at the last minute, all the knowledge will transfer to the head directly. So that is a misconception, that spiritual life means retirement program. Some people buy Bhagavad Gita, they think, oh, my father retired from job, I will give him gift now. So he should study Bhagavad Gita. I have time. I will think about when I retire. So spirituality is not a retirement program. So Prahlad Maharaj says, everybody knows Prahlad Maharaj, the great devotee of Lord Vishnu. So he says, spiritual life need to be taken at a very young age. It need to begin at the age of 5. But nonetheless, we have missed that boat, it's still not too late. So if spiritual life need to begin at an early age, if you want to offer flower to the Lord, do you take the most rotten flowers from your garden, or you want to take the fresh flowers and offer the fresh flowers to the Lord? What do we do? Some people may do the other way also. They say, oh, my house beautification will spoil. Let the fresh flowers stay for some time. Let me take the little bad ones from the backside. So we need to offer, we should offer the fresh flowers. So same way, if we want to submit ourselves to the Lord, we should submit ourselves when we are fresh, when we are youthful. Otherwise, when we are old, when we have grown up old, there's so many problems. We cannot sit properly, we cannot hear properly, we cannot talk properly. This is bolte hain, muh mein dant nahi, pet mein ant nahi. At that time, what we will take to spirituality? We cannot hear anything properly. And we cannot remember anything, but we'll remember. Once one person, he took his old mother to the satsang program. So Swamiji, he is speaking nice katha. And while speaking, he described some offering made to Krishna, like chappan bhog, rasmalai, kheer pura. And the old lady heard that. So as soon as she heard about eating, she said, oh, Swamiji said something about eating. So we cannot hear properly. Sometime once in a while something relate to us. Then we are focused on that. Spiritual life need to begin from early age. Second misconception comes is spirituality means we need to give up everything. Renounce everything. Go to Himalayas. Right? That's what people think about spirituality generally. So they are scared of taking to spirituality. Once one person, he was a shaved head and saffron clothes. He was distributing Bhagavad Gita. And he hold up on a street basically. So he hold one person. Please take this Bhagavad Gita. This person was rushing to his office. Please take this Bhagavad Gita. This person, no. I don't want to touch it. If I touch it, I have to renounce everything. See, look at you, what happened to you? You touched it, what happened to you? So if I touch it, what will happen to me? So that is people has some misconception generally. Spirituality means you renounce everything. You give up everything. You give up your family life, your occupation. And then you go to Himalayas. Sit somewhere in the caves or mountains in some posture. So spirituality is not a particular dress or a hairstyle. Sometimes people think, oh, that person in saffron clothes, oh, he is spiritual person. Shaved head, he is spiritual person. Putting some particular style of tilaka, he is spiritual person. Spirituality is not about the external dress. It's about the internal consciousness. It's about the change of consciousness. One can practice spirituality while staying at home, while practicing his occupation, while staying with family. And one can still practice spirituality. So Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Very interesting scenario here. When Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, the time, place and circumstance when Krishna spoke. He spoke at what place? Kurukshetra, battlefield. To whom did he speak? Did he spoke Bhagavad Gita to some renounced person? Arjuna, who is a Kshatriya, who has a lot of responsibility, he has his family, he has a lot of administrative responsibility. And what was the time? A war is going to start. The whole world's fate depends on that war. So it's that situation. So the person to whom he spoke, he's not a renounced person. It's not that it's Bhagavad Gita is meant only for people who are renounced, who are retired. He spoke at a place of war field. So imagine you are walking on a street along with your friend and you hold your friend at the middle of the intersection. And well, listen, I'm going to tell you Bhagavad Gita. Let's first cross the road. What are you going to tell me in the middle of the road? And here Krishna is telling Bhagavad Gita in the middle of the war field. War is going to start. Says, okay, let's first discuss this very important message. Because what implies is the message is so important, it cannot wait for anything. And he spoke it to Arjuna. Arjuna actually wanted to renounce. He said, I will give up everything. I don't want to fight. I will give up everything. I will go live as a mendicant, begging. So Krishna said, Krishna did not approve. Yeah, yeah, very nice. You first retire, you renounce everything, then I will give you this message. Krishna actually did the other way. He said, no, you should not renounce. You should do your duty of as a Kshatriya. You should fight on dharmic principles. So it's the other way. It's a complete misconception that spirituality means retirement program or after renouncing. And then it's very important, the time, the message itself is very important. It cannot wait for anything. Generally, you tell anybody about something, if you are working in office and you want to tell this message of Bhagavad Gita, oh, let's discuss 10 minutes something. And he says, oh, I'm very busy, I have no time at all. Once one person was, again, distributing Gita, and sometimes people go to different offices. So this person, he went to and managed to enter into some office, skipped through the eyes of the gatekeeper. So he entered in one cabin. This person, he is very busy in his office. One phone on this side, another phone on this side, doing some business deal. And this person entered in the office, and this person is shocked to see this saffron clothed person, kind of a renounced person, looking like renounced person, and entering into his office. How come? How dare you enter into my office at this point of time? I'm too busy. Get out of here. So I will just take 2 minutes of your time. He said, no, get out. And ultimately he thought, oh, ultimately this person will ask for some charity. So he took out some 100 rupee, 50 rupee note and threw at his face. Just get out of here. I'm too busy. So for everybody, time is money. People think time is money. Don't waste my time. Just let me do my business. So this message, when Krishna is saying this war is going to start, and Krishna start teaching this message to Arjuna, and everybody is, the whole bugles and drums and conches have been blown already. War is start. Everybody is ready to shoot arrows. And Krishna start teaching this message of Bhagavad Gita. Because this message is so important, it takes the most priority. And people think, still people think, oh, it's something to be done at a later stage. So in our culture, we have another misnomer, as when somebody is taking as a final procession, right, taking to the cremation ground, people, what do people chant? Ram Naam Satya Hai. Ram Naam Satya Hai. And people think, oh, this to be chanted, Ram's Naam is true only at the time of death. And it should be chanted only at this particular occasion. So if you start chanting Ram Naam Satya Hai at somebody's bedding, somebody cutting birthday cake, and you start chanting Ram Naam Satya Hai, Ram Naam Satya Hai, people will say, Pagal ho gaya kya? What are you speaking? Why are you speaking like this? So Ram Naam is true only at the time of death. It's not true at other occasions. So that is the biggest misconception. So whole this point is what it is indicating. Spirituality is revolving around at the last stage of life. And we don't know when will be our last stage. Sometimes people think spirituality to be taken at old age. Do we really know? Will we make to the old age? Or somebody will take off earlier? So there's no guarantee we'll live up to that stage, live up to that age. So spirituality need to be taken at a very early age. And then another important question comes. Sometimes people say, when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Krishna himself was personally present to guide Arjuna's chariot. So Krishna was personally there to guide Arjuna. Where is Krishna to guide my chariot now? How do I know what message I am getting, what Bhagavad Gita I am reading? Is this the same original Bhagavad Gita what Krishna spoke? What is the guarantee? How do I know? Do you have the same old palm leaf what Vedvyas wrote on that? Do you have the original copy? Maybe somebody has made some changes. How do I know? So people say, give me the original Bhagavad Gita. Or is Krishna present there now to give me that message? So what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, evam parampara praptam rajarishyo vidu sa kalineh mahata yogo nashtah parantapa. This message, how the people earlier received this message, evam parampara praptam. This message was received in a parampara system, in a disciplic succession. So all the great Rajarishis, they received this message like that. And in a due course of time, this message seems to be lost. So I'm personally giving this message again. So Krishna gave this message personally, and this message is carried out by his representatives in a bona fide disciplic succession. So this is how this message transfers, like electricity. So there is a powerhouse of electricity. So electricity is generated through a generator in a powerhouse. Then that electricity, through the electric wire, it travels from the powerhouse through the wire, and that wire is hanging on sometimes big towers, poles. And then finally, that wire connection reaches to everybody's house. And the same current is present in your power plug. You plug any appliance, anything in that power plug, you receive that same electricity. So as there is a process for this electricity to flow, same way, what is this all different things represent here? The generated, the powerhouse is Krishna. So Krishna is the powerhouse who is giving the original message. All these wires taking that electricity, this is the original message flowing. And the poles, the towers which are carrying these wires, these are the great acharyas who are maintaining, preserving this message. And this message ultimately reaches to us through the plug point. And the plug point is the living guru who brings that same message to us. And when we connect with the bona fide guru, we can receive that same message. So still now, that message we can receive through bona fide disciplic succession. We need to seek out a genuine guru who can give us the real knowledge. Right now there are so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes people give their own commentaries, their own concoctions. But one need to seek out what is the real bona fide message of Krishna, and that we can find out through the bona fide representative. As if you want to go to a doctor, if you have a disease, you go to a doctor. So when you go to a doctor, do you first figure out, okay, who is the best doctor in this particular field? If somebody need to go through a heart surgery, somebody need to seek out, okay, who is the best doctor available? Or if somebody going through a pregnancy, they need to go to a gynecologist. They figure out, okay, who is the best gynecologist? So same way, we first check the qualification of the doctor. Same way, we need to check the qualification of the guru. And what is the qualification of guru? Guru doesn't mean simply some externals, some dress. Sometimes people think, oh, my guru, he is so great. He doesn't speak at all. He has not spoken in last 10 years. Complete Mounavrata. Maybe he doesn't speak because he doesn't know anything. Sometimes people think, oh, my guru, he can walk on fire. My guru can walk on water. My guru can lift himself in air. My guru speaks so nice Sanskrit. Even he sneezes in Sanskrit. So, but that is not the real qualification for a guru. What is the criteria for a guru? Scriptures define, what is guru? Meaning of guru itself. So a guru, it comes from, if you split the word, gu means darkness and ru means light. So one who brings us into light out of darkness, that is called guru. Another meaning of guru is one who is very heavy. Not heavy as a body weight, heavy in terms of knowledge. One who is very heavy in knowledge. If somebody take the opinion of the whole world, and on the other side there is the opinion of the guru, the opinion, the decision of the guru weighs more than all other opinions of the world. So guru means who is heavy. And guru is one who comes in a sampradaya, in a disciplic succession. He is not a self-acclaimed guru. Somebody claims, oh, sitting in few years in some mountain, some caves, oh, I received all this knowledge in my head. Some halo around my head and all this knowledge came. So that is not guru. Guru means who comes in a bona fide sampradaya. What is the meaning of sampradaya? Samyak pradayate. It is sampradaya. Who gives the knowledge as it is? Samyak pradayate. Pradayate means to give. Who preserves the message as it is without his own concoction. Sometimes people speak on Bhagavad Gita and they give their own concoctions. They use the words of Krishna to make business out of that. If somebody is giving a class to a different language, who understand a different language, if somebody is giving a class to Russians and somebody translating in Russian language, and the translator himself, rather than giving the translation of what the speaker is saying, he start giving his own message. He start translating his own message. So it's like that. Sometimes people giving the commentary on Bhagavad Gita or giving the translations on Bhagavad Gita, but they give their own message on the name of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, in Bhagavad Gita mein Bhagwan ne aisa bola hai. And they don't even use the word Bhagwan actually. In Bhagavad Gita it is said. They don't say who said. In Bhagavad Gita Lord Krishna said. They take Krishna out. In Bhagavad Gita it is said. And I am speaking that Bhagavad Gita. So when we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we have to understand from an authorized source, from a bona fide parampara. And we need to seek out who is the real representative, who is receiving the knowledge. Parampara means the knowledge is coming down from Krishna directly. So Krishna spoke the knowledge to Brahma, Krishna spoke the knowledge to Lord Shiva, to Lakshmiji, to four Kumaras. And through them, the knowledge is coming down through various acharyas. So one need to seek out the knowledge in a proper channel. And then people think spirituality means, oh, once in a while I go to temple. So once in a while I go to temple, I pay obeisances, put some dakshina in the hundi, sit there for some few minutes, some halo around my head. I think, oh, I'm a very pious person, very religious person, and I come out. So I'm a very spiritual, religious person. That's not all about spirituality. That occasionally going to temple, putting some dakshina, and most of the time people go to temple not to serve to the Lord, to surrender to the Lord, to make Him your servant. People go to the temple, give a wish list to the God. Oh, please give me this, please give me that. Ye nokri dilwa do, ye promotion dila do, ye job dila do, ye ladki ki shadi kara do, ye bangla dila do, ye gaadi dila do, and I will give you this. So that is not what is spirituality. First of all, we need to understand what real temple is. Temple is not just a building where a deity of Lord is installed, people go pay obeisances, put some dakshina and come out. That is not the real temple. What is the purpose of real temple? Today, in most of places, these days, all the temples are practically empty generally. Once in a while, some go and ring the bell. Bhagwan bhi sochta, aaj to koi aaya. So, it's not just that, okay, deity is installed. The real temple means where it's like an institute. It's an education center where the knowledge is given about who is God, what is our relationship with God, how to come out of this cycle of birth, death, all this disease. Where this knowledge is given, it's like an institute. And the another purpose of temple is to distribute prasad, mercy of the Lord. Now sometimes there is a lot of big buildings on the name of temple just to make business out of it. People come, make some donations and go out. There is no change, no transformation of heart. So temple means where knowledge is distributed, where prasadam of the Lord is distributed. And sometimes these big buildings, when there is come about giving out knowledge, conducting some programs to give some spiritual knowledge, they'll say, oh, we don't have funds to conduct programs. So what kind of temple is that? Because there is no actual purpose is served of temple. And they do fundraising sometime. And what do they do at the name of fundraising? They will invite some Bollywood star, some singer, and they are singing some film songs, and they arrange some food from the restaurant. And that's what is going on at the name of fundraising. So it's just kind of collecting money to maintain building, but there's no real purpose of temple is served. So temple is like a hospital. When we go to hospital, if you visit a doctor, and when you come out of doctor, if you just say, if your friend asks, okay, you went to doctor, so did he tell you what is the problem? No. Did he give you some medicines. Oh, I don't know. Did you take the medicine? Oh, I don't know. What is the purpose of that visit to the hospital? That's useless. So visit to hospital is fruitful. It has to be four things there. So one, when you go to doctor, we tell what is the disease. He should be able to tell what is the disease. The next thing is, what caused that disease? Next thing is, what is the line of treatment? And the ultimate thing is, what is the medicine to come out of that disease situation? So then the hospital visit is considered successful. But if we don't know after visiting a doctor, after visiting hospital, you still don't know what is your disease, what caused you this problem, and what is your final medicine, what is the point? So same way, going to temple, it serves as a hospital. When we come out of temple, there has to be four things. Or when we engage in this process to understand spirituality, there has to be four things. What is the first thing? Disease. What is our disease? We should understand, what is my disease right now? Everybody is considering, I am this body. Oh, I am this or I am that. So everybody is in a bodily designation, bodily conception of life. That is our real disease. So one should understand that, come out of that consciousness. And what caused that disease? So we learned, what caused that disease? Iccha dvesh samuttena dvanda mohena bharata. So we discussed it earlier also. So Krishna says, the symptom of this disease is caused by iccha and dvesh. 727. So chapter 7, text 27, Bhagavad Gita. Iccha and dvesh. When we have a desire to enjoy separate from Krishna, when we have enviousness from Krishna, that is the root cause of our disease. Then we are sent into this material world. And what is the action, line of action of treatment? So Krishna gives the line of action of treatment in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shucha. Give up, abandon all varieties of your religious duties. Surrender unto me. I should give you protection from all sort of sinful reaction. So that is the line of action of treatment. And another one, Krishna says, we should know who is our real father. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. Krishna is my father, he is my mother, he is my grandfather, he is my most well-wisher. So we should understand, what is our relationship with the Lord? And what is the real medicine? Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama. Eva kevalam kalau nasteva 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 gatir anyata. Chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari, chanting the name of Hari. That is the only way, that is the only way, that is the only way to come out of this disease condition. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti shochkam namanam kali kalmashah nashanam. This chanting of this Maha Mantra, which is 6 syllables, it has the potency to destroy all the bad effects of Kali Yuga. So this is from Kali Santarana Upanishad. There are 108 primary Upanishad. One of them is Kali Santarana Upanishad. So that is the line of treatment. So this is what one should learn while being engaged, or while being engaged in the process of spiritual life or going to temple. One should receive this knowledge. So that is the real temple which gives out this knowledge. And the other purpose what temple serves is, temple teaches us the importance of positive association. So temple gives us the importance of positive association, and it gives us the dangers of bad association. We learn what are the benefits of associating with positive people. Not just as a positive materialistic people, but people, like-minded people who are trying to make spiritual progress. And one should avoid the bad association. And what is the positive association? Everybody is aware of the benefit of positive association, or the effect of association. Anybody who doesn't know the effect of association? Here everybody is kind of a family people. right, with family. So when we want to send our kids to school, you make sure with whom they associate, who are their friends. They are not associating with any wrong or bad kids with bad habits. So everybody is very concerned what kind of association your kids have. So association is very important. And Shakespeare said, tell me who your friends are, I will tell you who you are. Right? We become, so it says, you become the most common 5 people you associate with. Those qualities you also acquire. So association has a big impact. And scriptures and the temples also gives the dangers of bad association. Like a rotten apple. If you keep a rotten apple in a bag of apples, what will happen to all other apples? All other apples also will spoil with time. If somebody want to be a smoker, just hang around with people who smoke, he will also catch up. Somebody hangs around with thieves, he also starts stealing. So the association has big effect. So bad association, scriptures give the danger, and the temples teaches the dangers of bad association. And for bad association, actually we don't have to go far from home. Everybody has bad association at the home, in your living rooms, family rooms itself. One-eyed guru. What is that one-eyed guru? The television. The whole world's association at your fingertips. And sometimes people think, oh, why my angel-like kid is behaving like a demon? Because the kind of association they take, it's a passive association. Whatever they learn, looking at those, somebody say, oh, we just make them watch Discovery Channel to learn. But just watching Discovery Channel also, do you make sure what is happening all around there? And there is, even everywhere now, there is a lot of advertisement. And what goes on the name of advertisement? All this media propagating. Take this, enjoy this. You use this, you will be happy. All this violence, illicit relations, meat eating, intoxication. All those things are being bombarded everywhere. So this television, actually, everybody is so caught up with these things. Entertainment, on the name of entertainment. So-called entertainment. Television, how it started. See, what negative impact televisions have done in last 30-40 years, even the Britishers, Mughals could not do in the history of 2000 years. The first Mughal came. They tried to destroy our culture. Then British came. They tried to convert people or destroy our scriptures and make people feel inferior. So all they have done is to destroy the Vedic culture and distort the scriptures. But whatever influence they could not have done, television has done completely in the last 30-40 years. Earlier it came as a radio only voice. Then it came as a black and white TV. Then it showed its colorful. Earlier it was just one or two channels, Doordarshan, national channel. Then it came as 20, 30, 40, now 200 channels, more than 200, 24-hour channels. So it came from the back door. We invited him as a guest, as a friend, and it became as a owner of the house. It was supposed to be as a servant, to serve, to entertain. Now it has become the master of the house. Everybody sits in front of the master, pay obeisances, and keep flipping the channels on your command. So this one-eyed guru, the wrong association, bad association, right in our house, in our living room. We need to protect ourselves, our kids, from that bad association. Need to make sure how much what they watch. And the positive association, so temple and scriptures teach what is the influence of positive association. All the scriptures implore. Sarva shastrikai sadhu sanga sarva shastrikai lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoye. So what are the scriptures are saying? Sadhu sanga sarva shastrikai. All the scriptures are saying associate with the saintly people. Associate with the saintly people. Even a momentary association with the saintly people can give us the complete benediction, complete fulfillment of the life. So what is real saintly person, how do we know who is sage? Who is a sadhu? So again, sadhu doesn't mean just some external cloth or a dressing sense. A saffron cloth, shaved head, or a tilak on the head, or somebody sitting in the Himalayas. Who is a real sadhu? Again, it's a consciousness. And the scripture define what is the real sadhu. Titikshva karunika suhrida sarvadehinam ajat shatrava shanta sadhava sadhu abhushana. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes what are the characteristics of a real sadhu. Titikshva. He is very compassionate. Karunika. Titikshva means he is very tolerant. Karunika is very compassionate. Suhrida, he is the most dear friend of every living entity. Suhrida, sarvadehinam, not just the human beings. He is not just the well-wisher of only human beings. Sarvadehinam, all species of life. Ajat shatra, he does not make any enemies, he does not know any enemies. Shanta, he is always peaceful. Sadhava, he is decorated with these saintly qualities. He abides by the instructions of the scriptures. These are the qualities. This is how a sadhu is decorated. So what is titikshva? What is the meaning of titikshva? Is it tolerant? So what is the meaning of tolerant? No matter what other people may do to him, he is tolerant in giving the message of the Lord. People may blaspheme him. People may condemn him. He is ready to give up his life. His mission is to give the message of the Lord. He is so merciful. He is so tolerant. And then compassion. Why he is tolerant? Because he is so merciful. In the history, all the true representative of the Lord, they have shown these qualities. Like Jesus Christ, when he preached this message of gospel of God, he preached for only a few years. And what was the end result? People wanted to kill him. And when they are hanging him, putting him on the cross, what Jesus said? Please forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So he is so compassionate. People are torturing him, ready to kill him. He is thinking about them. And in our culture, we have a great example of Haridas Thakur, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born in a Muslim family and he took to the chanting of Krishna's holy name. He was always chanting the Maha Mantra. And somebody complained to the Muslim ruler. And he ordered to beat this person, Haridas Thakur, in 22 marketplaces. So Haridas Thakur is being beaten in 22 marketplaces to give up the chanting of the holy name, to give up preaching this message of Krishna. And what does Haridas Thakur say? Khand khand hoye de jaye yadi pran, tabo ami badane na chade harinam. This is Bengali. So he says, khand khand hoye de, even my body is cut into pieces, even if I give up my life, I will not give up chanting of the holy name. So that is the consciousness of a real sadhu. He is so compassionate, he is so merciful, ready to give the message of Lord. Oh, this is my responsibility. I need to give this message of Lord. Doesn't matter, somebody appreciates, somebody condemned me. I am surrendering my life for this purpose. So once one person, he saw one scorpion drowning in the river. And he is trying to save that scorpion. He lifts up that scorpion. And scorpion, as soon as he comes on his hand, he stings him. He bit him. So this again, he falls down again from his hand and drowning. This person again lifts him up, again stings it. And this person again, this scorpion again falls down. So he again tried to lift it up. One person is watching from behind. He tells this person, are you crazy? Are you crazy? This scorpion is biting you and you are risking your life to save him. This person says, today I have learned a very great message, a very great lesson. This scorpion is my guru. So what lesson you learned from this scorpion? He said, He doesn't give up his nature even on the verge of death. He is about to die, drown in this water. Still he does not give up his nature. What is scorpion's nature? As soon as you come in touch with somebody, bite first, talk later. They sting first, talk later. So he bites first. And the biting of scorpion is so painful. The person doesn't die actually from the poison. It dies from the pain of this biting. And this person is lifting up this scorpion again and again. So I have learned a very great lesson from this scorpion. He doesn't give up his nature, so I should not give up my nature. My nature is to protect people, to save people from this world of misery. And I will do my duty at the sake of risking my own life. So that is the consciousness of the real sadhu. He is not too much concerned about the material welfare. Sometimes people take to the philanthropic activities. Oh, do this, give them house, give them food, give them medicine, give them clothes, this, that. Yes, it's okay to take care of the bodily needs, but the real purpose is to save them from this repeated birth and death. Give them real knowledge. So why he is so compassionate, he is so merciful? Because he is the real friend of every living entity. He does not make any enemies, even though people may become his enemy. Like in the case of Jesus Christ, people became his enemy. He preached the message for a few years, they wanted to kill him. Haridas Thakur, people became enemy just for because he's chanting the name and preaching to others. But he does not consider anybody as their enemies. He is always peaceful. And he abides by the scripture. He does not give his own concoction, his own philosophy. He gives what scripture teach, what the great acharyas have taught. So the real sadhu is decorated with these qualities. So we need to seek out who is a real sadhu. And when we want to progress in spiritual life, somebody may still think, oh, spiritual life, how can I practice this process? I have a family, I have kids, I have responsibilities, my occupation, this, that. We all have family responsibilities. But what is the real duty? What is our real duty towards family? People think my duty towards kid is send them to nice class. This class, that class, swimming class, math class, English class, chess class, badminton class, basketball class. So you have so many different engagements. And then we have no time left. We call somebody on the weekend, please come for satsang program. What is the answer? Oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I have so many responsibilities. And then only Sunday is the one day to take rest. For that also now you are saying come to temple. What is all that? I don't have time. So we need to understand first of all, what is real duty towards family. So all these responsibilities, these are okay, engaging in these various activities. But scriptures implore, one should not become a guru, one should not become a father or a mother or a great saintly person without first being able to deliver your dependents. Guru na syat, swajano na syat, pita na syat, sajani na syat, devam na tatsanyat, patishrasht na syat, na cha mokshe samupet mrityus. If somebody is not able to deliver from the cycle of birth, death, from the repeated cycle, one is not eligible to take up these responsibilities. So one first need to know how I can deliver my family from this whole process. And to be able to do that, as I said, we are so much caught up with this technology, just for the fun side. We want to give the best of best to the kids. And now 5, 6, 7 year old kids, they have their own laptop, they have their own tablets, they have their own iPhones and Samsung Galaxy or whatnot. So they have been bombarded with all these technological things. And everybody is caught up with so many of these things. What is the effect happening? The purpose of technology is to make our life simple, less complex. But we are making it more complex. We are caught up with all these so many things. When the phone came, it is supposed to, technology is supposed to serve us. But what happens? Technology becomes the master. Everybody becomes a servant of their iPhones and iPads and computers and all that. As soon as some bell rings, it's basically a phone is commanding. Check this message. Take this call. Check out this thing. Check out that thing. Check out this Facebook status, your Twitter status, or this status, that status. So everybody is caught up with so many those things. You know, there's a statistic survey here. How much time people spend doing various activities, how much time they spend on their phones while eating with family, while attending your class, or while traveling in a public transport, or while personally driving also actually. Even at the place of worship, that was surprising. So this statistic show is, even at the place of worship, 9% people, or the 9% time is spent even at the place of worship, while engaged in service, people are also busy with the phones also. So that is the condition. We are making our life so busy with all these gadgets, rather than simplifying the lives or saving times, we are giving up more times. If we carefully observe our time from the morning till night, what are the real time wasters? How much time we spend on checking messages and Facebook status and Facebook posts and all that? There's so much time being spent on that. If we can save that time and productively use that time, we can spend so much time on actual purposeful things. So rather than giving all these gadgets to the kids, we need to see what is real beneficial for them. People think, see, achhi class mein bhej diya, achhe school mein admission kara diya, achhe college mein admission kara diya, gave them everything. I have done my responsibilities. What more? Sab kuch to de diya. I was a sophisticated animal. I make you also one. What else you expect from me? So rather than, sometimes people also claim, see, at my time I didn't have this facility, and I am giving you this. You should be grateful. So we think I am doing a big favor. See, I am giving you all these things. So rather than that, we need to engage kids in the real process of knowledge, to train them in spiritual life from a very early age of life. As a kids are like a fresh dough, they can absorb the maximum. They can take any shape, whatever you make. Like the dough, you can make clay dough, you can make any shapes. Kids are like that. So whatever they learn now, that's how, what kind of consciousness, what kind of moral principle they grow with. And right now, if they are engaged in all these nonsense things, that's how they will grow. That's why now there's a big problem with all this. Kids have no respect for parents. The way they talk to parents, they treat with their elders. What? You call them. Please come for dinner. And they're sitting in the room upstairs with their iPhone or iPad or whatever it is. And they will shout out, what? What do you want? This is what they're learning. So we need to give them the real knowledge. That is the real duty towards family life. To elevate their consciousness, to be made, for them to able to progress in spiritual life. So we need to simplify our life. And the goal of life is to purify our existence. So how we can take progress, how we can make progress in spiritual life? Somebody may think, I have no time at all. I am so busy in my occupation. So first of all, we need to make our home itself. Okay, you don't have time to go to temple. You don't have time to go to satsang program. We need to make our home itself into temple. So what is the identification of a temple? So there is some signs at the building of temple building. So there is some flag, some chakra or something which identifies, oh, this building belongs to the Supreme Lord. Right? Any building, even like parliament, any government building, they have some American flag or something. What does it mean? This is a government building. Right? So same way, the temple, it has some signs, some symbols there which represent this building belong to the Supreme Lord. It's house of the Lord. So when we want to make our home into temple, there should be some indication. This house belongs to the Lord. So put a flag, some kind of thing on the temple, on the house. It's not just as simple. Just putting some sign. Not just external. But what kind of signs we have right now? Every house has a dish antenna. So I said, the sign represents who is the master of the house. If there is a sign representing some flag, some chakra or something, it means it's a property of the Lord. If there is a dish antenna at the top of the house, what does it mean? This house belongs to
the TV.
This TV. He is the master. And everybody is there to serve this one-eyed guru. So first of all, that consciousness needs to change. And then how we make our house into a temple. Put a nice altar. Put some pictures, some deities of the Lord. And everybody need to engage in serving the Lord. There are family that prays together, stays together. Everybody knows that, right? A family that prays together, stays together. There's more to that. The family that eats together, or family that dines together, shines together. So one, we need to make the house into a temple, offer, cook for the pleasure of the Lord, and offer it to the Lord. And then everybody take part in that prasadam. So family that dines together, shines together. Family that sing together, clings together. Not singing as a Bollywood songs. Everybody singing nicely. Some film songs. No, the family which is engaged in the chanting of the holy name. Singing the glories of the Lord together. Family that sings together, clings together. Family that dances together, advances together. Again, not dancing on the filmy songs. Family, all the members are participating in the dancing during the kirtan. The family that dances together, advances together. So we can make progress in spiritual life while staying at home by just doing small changes. Rather than we being the center, make the Lord as the center of our life. Right now everybody try to be the center of the house. Wife want to be the center. Husband want to be the center. Kids want to be the center. So earlier there was one television. Now there are multiple televisions. Everybody has in their own room. So that there is no fighting on the remote control. Who want to watch what? So everybody want to be the center. Like earlier we used to throw this called Gatri. Some marbles on the water, in the water. So when you throw some stone, some marble in the center, there are some nice ripples come out, some concentric ripples, and it go out. So if everybody throw the stone at the same place in the water, nice concentric ripples come out. But if everybody thrown here and there, everywhere, what happens? All the ripples come out, there is clashes. So there is a chaos. So same way in our life, when everybody in a family want to be the center of the family, want to be the head, I want my way, not your way, then there is a problem in family life. But when we make the Lord as the center, everybody is there to serve the Lord, then there is a nice harmony in the family life. So making the home itself into a temple, having some nice altar, putting a picture of the deity of the Lord, offering some bhoga, singing the glories of the Lord, offering the arati and inviting everybody to join in that. So this way, one can make the progress in spiritual life. But one can still say, how can I make... So spiritual progress means making your occupation into a devotional service. That's what we discussed, the principle of karma yoga coming to the level of bhakti yoga. To making every activity into a karma, which does not bring reaction. So bringing our occupation, making our occupation into devotional service. So when you say making your occupation into devotional service, people get scared. Oh, do I have to give up everything and just sit in a temple, chant all the time, play kartal or mridanga or anything and just keep chanting? So do I have to give up everything? So what does it mean to make your occupation into devotional service? So question here for everybody. Why do we have occupation? why do we go to job or business or anything?
To sustain.
To earn money. The Prabhu said, to earn money. So everybody is engaged in any occupation to earn money. Why do you want to earn money?
To sustain, survive.
To sustain, survive. Survive what? Sustain what?
Myself.
So to sustain myself, some people say, see, I have a family, I have my wife, I have my kids, I have my home, I have my car. So that is the problem. So when we are thinking everything, it's me, 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 it's belong to me, and I need to maintain that, that's where the problem start. And we think, oh, I need to maintain that, I'm so busy with that, caught up with that. But that's where the switch of consciousness need to happen. If we start thinking, this everything belongs to Krishna, Krishna has given me this family, Krishna has given me this spouse, Krishna has given me these kids, Krishna has given me this house, and I am the caretaker. I need to take care of everything as thinking it as Krishna's property. So if with just that small switch of consciousness, then now every activity becomes as a service to Krishna. So when somebody goes to work to earn money, to maintain all that, it's doing to maintain Krishna's property. So it becomes devotional service. Somebody going to market to buy all the ingredients, the vegetables, fruits and everything, to cook offering to the Lord. So all that activity of going to market, buying, cutting, cooking, all those activities become devotional service. So offering the bhoga to the Lord, it's a devotional service. So then all our activity, even traveling, the time to travel to go to work, it all becomes as a devotional service. So we need to make our occupation into devotional service, make our home into a temple. So then there is no point of being busy. You may be busy with all same activities, you are engaged in devotional service. So now, so far, whatever you have heard, what are the carry home points? What message I carry home after all these 6.5 sessions we have discussed in last 6-7 weeks? How do I make progress in spiritual life? What are the bare minimum things I need to do? So everybody eat vitamins? What kind of vitamin you eat? You go to doctor for a medical visit or your annual physical. Doctor also asks generally, do you eat vitamins, multivitamins? Once when I went to doctor, yeah, I eat vitamins every day. So what kind of vitamin you eat? I take vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D. You all want to take that vitamin? It's very easy. So today we are going to give you 4 vitamins to take home. Okay? So everybody need to take these 4 vitamins on a regular basis. And your life will be successful. And what are these 4 vitamins? Let's start with vitamin D. Everybody eat food. So when you eat food, you are just maintaining your physical body. But this vitamin D, so like sometime when we teach kids ABCD, A for apple, B for boy, C for cat, D for dog, we are going to change that meaning now. Okay? So D for diet. So diet, whatever you eat it as a prasad of the Lord. So first make an offering to the Lord and then eat that as prasad. So that prasadam, the whole diet, it becomes as a remnant of the Lord, as a prasad of Lord, which purify our existence. So we need to purify our senses. So Krishna says, so we have this material body, which is like 5 Jnanendriya, 5 Karmendriya. We have the physical senses. And the limitation of senses is, they are contaminated. Our senses are contaminated. So we need to purify the senses. And how we purify the senses? By eating Krishna Prasad. It's not just a vegetarian food. Even just eating vegetarian food is not enough. Even monkeys are vegetarian. So no big deal in that. So one need to go beyond being vegetarian, which is being Prasaditarian, or sometimes people call Krishnatarian, eating Krishna Prasad always. So that is the diet, vitamin D. Everybody can take that vitamin, no extra cost.
whatever you were doing earlier, so still you do the same thing. The only thing is, earlier we were cooking for our pleasure, now you cook for the pleasure of the Lord. And you offer to the Lord whatever He likes. So we don't want to offer Him what He doesn't like. So there is certain requirements when we offer the bhoga to the Lord, there is certain restrictions. We should not eat Him any untouchable things like the non-vegetarian things or even the onion and garlic, which comes as a tamasic food. And people get scared. Oh, I have to give up onion, garlic. How is that? It's too difficult. Once a person met some sadhu and he was trying to glorify sadhu. Oh, you are so great. You have renounced the world. You have renounced everything. And this sadhu is opposite, is praising that person. No, 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 you are so great. This person is trying to glorify sadhu and sadhu is glorifying this person. And this person becomes frustrated. See, I'm trying to glorify you. Why you are glorifying me? I am such a fallen person. So the sadhu says, see, I am just given up the, I am taken up this dress and all that. And you, I have given up only the worldly things. And look at you. You are so great. You have given up God. So people are ready to give up God consciousness for maintaining all those attractions or all those attachments. Even giving up onion garlic becomes so painful. How can I give up? Better I will continue with my old way of life. So this is so simple thing. Actually people think onion garlic gives a real taste in the food. Actually that's not true. Onion garlic actually spoils the taste of the food. The taste of onion garlic is so pungent, it dominate the overall taste. So onion garlic is like the changu mangu in the food, the two gundas. So when two gundas come, no rule of anybody else. Okay, everybody out. Now it's our gundagardi. Only our taste will remain. So you are eating matar paneer, there is no actual taste of matar paneer. This is the taste of onion garlic coming if you have that in that. So giving up the ingredients which Krishna does not accept and making that as an offering to the Lord. So that is vitamin D. Now beyond senses, Krishna says higher than senses is mind. And our mind is also contaminated. Isn't it? If you tell your neighbor all your thoughts, he will not invite you to his house. Guarantee. So our mind is so polluted, and what mind has certain diseases. What are the diseases of mind? First of all, it's polluted. It's a so bad thought, so contaminated. And then it's so flickering. It doesn't stay at one thought. It cannot stay in present. Either it's swinging in the past or hankering for the future. Lamenting for the past, hankering for future. It's like a pendulum or a seesaw. Just going both sides. Cannot stay focused on the present. So we need to purify the mind. And what is the process to purify mind? So now you take the next vitamin, vitamin C. Chanting the holy name. So C is chanting. So when we chant the mantra, what is mantra? What is the meaning of mantra? Manatrayate iti mantra. Sorry, I forgot to move the slides. So C is chanting the holy name. Manatrayate iti mantra, which can deliver the mind. So when we chant the mantra, slowly, slowly the mind becomes pacified. And the mind is all the contamination. Slowly, slowly it's removed. It's not a one day process. Don't think, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to chant Mahamantra one time and my mind should be pure, like completely white. It's not going to happen. It's a gradual process. So the chanting of the holy name, and we have stressed so much in last few sessions also the importance of chanting, and today itself also, there is no other way than the chanting of the holy name. So we need to engage in chanting, and we carry the beads. Like there is the whole mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare. So this is one mantra. And there is a whole mala which is 108 beads in that. So we chant on the beads So if you chant 108 times, it becomes one mala. And it takes about 7 to 8 minutes to chant one round. So just 7 to 8 minutes, let's say maximum 10 minutes of your time to engage in this process of chanting to begin with. Who are the sincere seekers? Actually, they chant 16 rounds. As Srila Prabhupada gave this remedy, chanting the holy name 16 rounds in a day, which can take 1.5 hours to 2 hours. So in the beginning, you don't have to jump right away to that level. So you can start with one round. But we need to make endeavor, to make progress, consistent progress. We should not get stagnant at one point. That, oh, I'm chanting maybe half mala. Next year I will start chanting one full mala. And then after 5 years I will start chanting two mala. What happened in a stagnant water? It starts stinking. Mosquitoes grow on that. So we should not stagnate our spiritual progress. We should try to make a gradual progress in spiritual life rather than getting it stagnated or contaminated. So chanting the holy name, a minimum commitment, whatever commitment one can take, one round, two round, slowly, slowly make progress, increase. Everybody want to make progress in your professional life? Anybody, wherever you started 5 years back, if you were to be the same position, same salary level, now, will you all be happy? Anybody? After 20 years of your career also, we will give you same salary. If that is written on your, what is that, offer letter, will you be happy? But we get so much, oh, I'm doing one round. For how long? Oh, last 3 years I started, 3 years back. I'm still chanting one round. And sometimes that also I skip. So we should make commitment for a consistent, gradual progress in spiritual life. And Krishna is not asking for big commitments. He's not saying, okay, go to Himalayas or renounce everything. There is a provision for you to make progress in spiritual life while staying in the same situation, same family life, same condition. Continue your work, profession, everything. But change the lifestyle a little bit. So chanting, everybody can take vitamin C? Okay, now next, vitamin B. So what is this vitamin B? Books. So higher than mind is intelligence. So intelligence also has two diseases. Intelligence has a disease, first of all, it has a lack of discrimination. To distinguish right from wrong. We are able to discriminate what is right for me, what is wrong for me. What is good to do, what is bad to do. So lack of discrimination. And second thing, even if we know this is wrong to do or right to do, we have lack of determination. So our intelligence is also in a diseased condition. And to make the intelligence stronger, we need to take this vitamin B, which is books. Book doesn't mean like any mundane books. You go to library and collect all sort of books, Stardust and Filmi Gyan and all that. Books means the spiritual books, which can give us the real knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada, he has done so much of endeavor to write these books, keeping awake throughout the night, sleeping only 2 hours, and translating the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all those other books. And all this knowledge is so pure. By reading these books, one can make progress in spiritual life. One can make the intelligence stronger and purified. So, importance of reading books. Nowadays, we read messages. Everybody is into reading messages. WhatsApp messages. I don't know how many messages come in a day. And we get caught up in reading each and every one. Everybody want to watch the status update on the Facebook. Who has put what post. You want to go, keep going. When you go on Facebook, then you don't realize how much time is gone. Updates keep coming. Who has posted what? And sometimes this same mentality sinks into spiritual reading also. Sometimes we think, oh, somebody sent me some nice message. I read that. That's enough. So rather than reading between the lines, we need to read systematically. Reading the systematic, gaining the systematic knowledge. Reading the book systematically. Few pages every day. So reading books is very important to make our intelligence stronger. Now ultimately, next is vitamin A. What is vitamin A? So A is the association of devotees. Not the association of anybody and everybody, association of worldly minded people. Association of devotees. So higher than senses is mind, higher than mind is intelligence, and higher than intelligence is false ego. And our false ego is also contaminated. False ego has a disease. What is the disease of false ego? Everybody thinks himself to be the center. And then we have the disease of taking credit for everything. So that is the disease of false ego. And how the disease of false ego can be corrected? By taking the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, one learns to become humble. So this association is very important. We can, if somebody has not understood anything at all in last 6-7 sessions, just understanding these four vitamins, and if we can start taking these four vitamins, staying in the association of devotees, like this association, we have a weekly program where we discuss the spiritual subject matters. The senior devotees like Satyasutta Prabhu, he comes and leads the session, he gives out class on Bhagavad Gita. So learning the masses, staying in the association, serving the devotees, serving the Lord in the association of devotees. Why association is so important? As we already said, association defines who we are. The association you keep, you become like that. Our association shapes our desires. And sometimes our desires shape the association. Right? So if somebody has a desire to become a businessman, he hangs around with people who have business, goes to some business conferences or something. So there are so much of different sort of associations all around in the world. So association is important. Same way, if we want to make progress in spiritual life, if we want to learn about spiritual subject matter, we need to stay in association of likely minded people. Otherwise, this material world is so degraded, it's ready to grab you. Like the, what is that, crabs. What does crabs do? So sometimes people ship crabs, right, from the seashore to different parts of the world, and when they ship crabs, they fill them in a big containers, and there's no lid on the container. Somebody may think, oh, all these crabs have been caught with so much endeavor. And during the transportation, if they all escape, what happens? There is no risk of crabs escaping from the container. You know why? Because when one crab tries to go up, the other crab will pull it down. Then a third crab start going up, both those together pull it down. So like that, the crabs. So in the outside world also, people have like that crab mentality. Somebody want to make progress, others want to pull it down. So when you start making, you think, oh, I want to make progress in spiritual life, what will your friends will say? Pagal ho gaya kya? Wo Hare Krishna wale. Are wo to sab pagal hai, tum bhi. They want to pull you down. They don't want to see you make real progress of life. First of all, they also don't understand what is the real purpose of life. And when you want to make progress, they will pull you down. This material world is like that. This Maya, whole Maya. Actually, there is a software also called Maya. Anybody knows that? Yeah. What is Maya? It's Krishna's material energy. If somebody wants to stay away from Krishna, he is under the influence of this Maya Devi. So Krishna's energy is so powerful. If somebody shows back to Krishna that, oh, I don't have time for you, Krishna makes sure, yes, he doesn't have time. He is so busy with other things. He doesn't find time. And as soon as you say, I want to serve you, I want to make progress towards you, then Krishna gives protection. He makes sure that you can have all the time you need. So that's what we learn by staying in association. Everybody plugs in their phone for charging. So association is like a charging port. Every night you charge your phones. So same way we need to charge our battery. You may hear some nice pravachan, then you go out, you're excited. Oh, kya bola? Wow, wow, wow. And people say, Prabhuji, kitna achha lecture tha. Kya samajh mein aaya? That I don't know. Right? So sometimes people glorify, oh, wow, what a class, what a class. So we get excited first for a few minutes after hearing, but then all that energy goes down. As soon as we wear our chappals, go out of the house, all that drains out from the sole of the shoes. Maybe there is some hole or something there, I don't know. So that's why association, regular association is very important. Staying in association on a consistent basis. So that we can sink in to that knowledge. This is like playing the match of kabaddi. Has anybody played the match of kabaddi? Or seen? Or heard? When you play kabaddi, what happens? One person goes on to the other party side. And they will want to grab him. But what he has to do, he has to keep saying kabaddi, 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 kabaddi. Without stopping his breath. And either touching or untouching other people, come back to his camp. But if he is grabbed by other people and he loses his breath, he is done. So this material world is like that. We go, it's like going on a war, declaring a war on Maya. All this materialistic energy. And when we go out, everybody will like to drain our energy. And somehow we need to come back safe and sound into our camp. And for that, that's what association is very important. To come back to our camp, to come back in the association of devotees, to stay plugged in that association. So these four vitamins, it's not hard to take these four vitamins. What is vitamin A?
Association.
Everybody, can everybody say?
Association.
Association. So staying in association. So now one should not think, okay, 7-session course is done. We have heard, we have gained the knowledge. Thank you very much. We'll see you maybe after 5 years now. So this is not the end of journey. This is actually the beginning of journey now. So right now it was just the trailer shown to you. So now we need to take the real journey to stay in the association on a regular basis. So that's why there is a facility of regular satsang program on a weekly basis. And there is a regular temple program also every Sunday evening. Prabhupada established the system of Sunday love feast. People living in metro cities now, they don't have facility to go to temple every day. So at least once a week, come to temple, engage in service, engage in the chanting, glorifying, glorification of the Lord. So once a week, engaging in that activity. And then on a daily basis, taking these four vitamins. So there is no extra cost. Is there any extra cost? Did somebody ask you for any money? Till now? So this chanting mala also is very cheap actually. The only cost is this mala. That's all the cost you pay. Rest all is voluntarily. If somebody want to give any donations to temple or anything, it's all completely voluntarily. Only cost is this chanting mala, which is also maybe $2, $3, $5 on which you chant the holy name. So apart from that, the multivitamin you take on a monthly basis, you spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. These vitamins are free of cost. So we need to engage in these four basic activities. The activities of A, B, C, D. Now everybody should say, now I know my A, B, C, D. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any question, and I hope you continue to take these vitamins on a regular basis. If I have misspoken anything or if I stepped onto somebody's toe, please forgive me. The intention was not to nullify anybody or offend anybody. Intention is to uplift everybody. So we are all like a family. That is the difference in material world and spiritual life. In material world, everybody wants to pull you down like a crab. But in spiritual world, everybody will give you hand from top to pull you out. We are all fallen into this well, dark well. And somebody has thrown a rope to pull us out from that well. So everybody is ready to pull us out, to elevate us, to lift us up. It's our responsibility if we want to catch on to that rope or not. So, if I said anything wrong, offended anybody, please forgive me. And I hope we all can continue on this journey, week after week after week, years after year, in the service of Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. If anybody has any question, comment, any feedback, you can direct it to Satyasutta Prabhu. So, I'm grateful to Satyasutta Prabhu for allowing me to speak these 7 sessions. Because he was going out of town also, or whatever reason it was. So ultimately, I ended up conducting this 7 session series, which was long pending. So, yes, Prabhu.
The association of devotees, just describe what are the characteristics of devotees. What are the characteristics of devotees?
So, characteristic of devotee is like the same as characteristic of a sadhu. Devotee is like a sadhu. It's not mean that, oh, he has to be a renounced person or something. He may be a householder practicing himself. So, he himself should be practicing. It's not that it's just a tape playing. Somebody is speaking and doesn't practice himself. He himself should be practicing and he should be teaching by his example. So that is what a practicing devotee means. Devotee is who is engaged in the service of the Lord. He's not just as a showcase devotee. That, oh, once in a while, once a year I go to temple, I am a devotee. Devotee means who is engaged in service of the Supreme Lord. And there is a difference in a devotee and a upasak. We discussed that when we discussed the topic of one God, many God. People think, oh, I worship Ganeshji, I worship this Devi, that Devata. I am a devotee. Devotee is a word reserved for the worship of the Supreme Lord. That is called devotee, who is engaged in worship of Supreme Lord. Somebody engaged in worship of any Devi Devata actually is called an upasak. A worshipper, not a devotee. Because the intention is different. When somebody is approaching the Lord for his material benefit, at least that's good to begin with. But that's not the real platform of bhakti.
One thing we can add is just like we're saying, Vaishnava, your ahankar is very low. And
right. So once he has given up his false ego, right, once somebody has given up his false ego, he is practicing the principles of tolerance and humility. That is the characteristic of a devotee. Actually, this devotee word is very broad. Somebody asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a devotee? So, Mahaprabhu gave different answers at different occasions, depending on the person. So, at one point of time, Mahaprabhu said, anybody who has even once taken the name of Hari, he is a devotee. Okay? Anybody who has even once taken the name of Hari, he is a devotee. At one occasion, Mahaprabhu said, who chants minimum 64 rounds of Mahamantra, he is a devotee. Another time he said, by remembering whom one can remember the Lord, he is a devotee. Okay, so all this fit into a characteristic of a devotee. By looking at somebody, if you can remember the Lord, he is a devotee. Because he is decorated with godly qualities. He is decorated with tilaka, kanti mala, chanting the holy name. Looking at him, you also remember. So it's not as a beating somebody with a stick. He is a devotee, he is not a devotee. And in Nectar of Instruction define how we need to reciprocate with different level of devotees. Because everybody may be practicing, but everybody may not be at the same level. Right? Somebody is just as a beginner, somebody has made progress to certain level, somebody is very advanced. So how we make association with different level of devotees? One should not stay grounded with, oh, he is my level, so I will just associate with him. That Prabhuji is very advanced. I don't want to go near to him. I will also, maybe if he sneezes on me, maybe I will also become so elevated, will give up everything. So, Nectar of Instruction describe how to reciprocate with different level of devotees. One should respect anybody who is chanting the holy name. At least one should mentally honor that person who is chanting, engaged in the chanting of holy name. One should pay obeisances to somebody who has gone through initiation process and engaged in worship of the deities. And one should engage in serving that sincere devotee who is very advanced, free from all sort of ego and jealousy and criticizing others. So there's a different level of reciprocation. At least we should honor everybody mentally. That's why we call everybody, right? Prabhuji's, Mataji's, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Mataji. It's like basic etiquette to respect everybody, to honor everybody, to begin with the basic bare minimum. Any other question, comment? Probably want to add anything? So I guess we'll stop here. Any other question or comment? Maybe we can talk later. So again, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll offer, today is the last day of Kartik month as per Vaishnava calendar. So today is Purnima. So we'll be in our Bhakti Riksha program, we'll be doing final Damodar Aarti. So everybody has the opportunity to offer ghee lamp to Lord Damodar as a final offering. You can continue, if you want, you can continue offering at home every day the lamp still. And then we have some birthday celebrations at the end. We'll be celebrating His Grace Satyasuta Prabhu's birthday, which was October 29th. And we have Ravi Shankar Prabhu's father's birthday also today. So we'll be celebrating the birthday, just offering our gratitude to these personalities. So again, thank you very much. And this Sunday, there is our Bhakti Vriksha group. As a group, we go for a Sunday feast service, doing the service once a month in the temple. So this Sunday we are doing our group service. So everybody, whoever can join us, starting at 1 o'clock. So we encourage everybody to participate. So you can give your names as a commitment, whoever is coming, so we can inform the temple management how many devotees will be there for service. So please consider engaging in this service. And next week, we'll not have our regular program. So this is the right opportunity. We are talking about association, taking the association of saintly people. So just at time, we finish the 7-session series. And next week, we have a great opportunity to associate with a great saintly person, a very sincere devotee, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Rompad Maharaj. So he is going to be in town next weekend. He is arriving, I guess, November 9th till November 12th. So we will not have program on Friday. The program will be on Saturday evening. So next week program will be on Saturday evening at Nitai Gorsundar's house. Basically, they allow us to live in that house. So it's in that house, basically 1529 Boyd Street. So next week program, great opportunity to associate with His Holiness Rompad Maharaj. Program will be on Saturday evening rather than Friday. Okay, so thank you very much.
Raghav,
can sing Namodashkam?
Prabhu, project karenge?
Yeah, I can project actually. Thank you for reminding me.